I'm working away on like different projects. I'm here for at least like the next 40 minutes, hour.
Now, come on, baby, tell me who's the nerd. Nerd up, y'all.
N-E-R-D up. N-E-R-D up.
It's time for the Nerd Up Podcast, and here's your pod hosts, Guilty Wilson.
Nerd up.
Welcome to another episode of the Nerd Up Podcast. I'm Guilty Wilson alongside nobody. Yeah, nobody could make it. Everybody's schedules were different, and it's sad. But hey, I'm alone most of the time. Actually, I'm not fully alone. I've got Nigel Tomasi with Mayamata Media, or Mayamata. We'll talk about that in a minute, about what he does. But they've got a book out that is very appropriate for now. We're going to talk about that later on as well, and talks about a pandemic. And again, this being the Nerd Up Podcast, we're saying, well, what's that got to do with the nerdy stuff? Well, you'll see. You'll see. So once again, I'd like to bring to the microphone right now Nigel Tomasi. And oh, by the way, he's from across the pond for you American listeners, so be ready for a beautiful accent. Nigel, how you doing?
Cool. I'm doing good. Thank you for like preparing people for the accent.
I just love it. I don't know what it is. Maybe I was born on the wrong side of the pond, but you know.
It's funny. My I've got a cousin in California. I sort of visit, and every time I go, I'm reminded of the British accent because she still hasn't gone over it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, yeah. It's a beautiful thing. It always is. In fact, a couple of years ago, I interviewed David Moody. He's an author from your side of the pond. And he writes a bunch of horror books. And the first thing, he reached out and said, hey, would you like to talk about this, blah, blah. I said, sure. And I didn't think anything of it. Everything's done through email. Connected through Skype to get the interview going. And I'm like, hey, you're British. How'd that happen? So took me by surprise. So now I'm always checking up. But anyway, let's move on to some other things here. Basically, you're running a manga or manga, whatever people want to say. I'm not, you know, I'm not biased, so, but
we're not judging.
Yeah, a manga or manga publishing company. I mean, you've got several titles out already, right?
Yeah, we've been doing this for a little while. We've got so I should have that number to hand, but we've got 3 volumes. Mm-hmm. We like graphic novel volumes out at the moment, and one smaller sort of like 20 odd page manga comic. And then we're working on a new one.
Now, I got to ask you this. When it comes to the manga, are you publishing them as they do in Japan, or are you doing it like us Westerners so we can actually read in it?
So, yes, it is the latter. So okay. So we decided, I started this with a friend, and we're both into sort of storytelling and creating characters, and he had a particular interest in Japanese culture and manga, and I have sort of, I feel like I've come at it from like the novice angle, and I've just been learning as we go. Mm-hmm. But we were mindful at the beginning of making something that didn't require you to be, you know, well versed in the medium, so it'll be more accessible. So we thought, let's just, you know, make it the Western way, so we don't get people right. Kind of overly confused. Yeah, but right. It does mean like when I'm at a convention or when back when I used to be at conventions, I could tell who reads manga and who doesn't, because some people would then immediately start from the back and I have to stop them and say like, hey, it's
yeah.
And then basically tell them what I just told you.
Yeah. Well, that, you know, that's funny because, well, okay. My son, who's now started college, is like a second year. I think he's going into, actually he's a junior. Anyway, he's a big fan of manga and he reads them, and he gives them to me every so often and I'll pick it up. I just can't. My brain doesn't want to work that way. He's adapted to it. I get confused. And when I saw you're doing manga, I'm like, oh no. And then I saw that, at least from what I saw, it looked like you were publishing the Western way left to right. And I'm like, okay, yes. this is going to be good.
This is for you.
Is that right?
Yeah.
So, well, thank you very much. I appreciate that. Now, what is the subject matter of the mangas that you produce?
So it actually varies. And kind of the way we did at the beginning, it sounds clever now. We just did it because we had a bunch of ideas at the time. But we created this universe, which is a television network where each of the manga books would tell the story of a different show. Oh. And what that allowed us to do is come up with just, because we had a few ideas, and the ones that are out now are our initial ideas. Mm-hmm. We had these ideas that were just different. And we needed something to allow us to come up with these different ideas, but still make sense in the context of a brand. Mm-hmm. So that's what we came up with, the just make it a television network. And then even with each book starts with some watching the show, and then it goes in to tell the story of the show. So that was the idea. And then we've kind of, I guess, yeah, we sort of built on that. We've done things where we'll do like a collector's edition of a book, and then after the main story, kind of like, you know how Marvel do the after credit scenes?
Right, right.
Do something similar where it's like behind the scenes in the studio, and then there's like some crossover. Yeah, so we kind of like drilling down on that theme as we get better at this.
So now, do you have recurring characters then in every book, or is each book different characters?
So we haven't got recurring characters just yet. So we're still, even though we've been doing this for a while, we're still at a stage of like establishing the stories. I should say it's taken way longer to make all the stories. It took like an instant to come up with the ideas, and then years to actually make them.
So basically you're using the Marvel Cinematic Universe method of building the whole bunch of stories first, and then we're going to get it together.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, okay. It's going to take a while. We're still establishing the initial stories, and then we'll figure that next level that next level out.
Okay. Now, one thing I noticed on this this latest manga you got coming out, the characters are animals. Is that true for all your books? I mean,
yes.
Okay. So
that is our universe. They're all anthropomorphic animals. Awesome. Yeah. And that was another thing we thought of at the beginning, because I remember thinking that when we came up with the idea of the television network, we're like, what kind of characters do we want? And obviously the first thing is like, we'll do human characters. I think the other option was like robot or android characters.
Oh, wow.
But we were animals. And I was just very mindful of, like with anime and manga, there's sometimes like a sort of preconceived idea of what it is, particularly for people who aren't into it. And it can be quite a negative one. So what I did want is someone to look at what we're doing and they just like immediately judge it as a manga. And if you think you're someone who doesn't read that, just dismiss it entirely. Mm-hmm. So we thought we'd make it a bit more approachable by having all our characters be animals. That way, in theory, at least you would ask the question, like, you know, why is this monkey chest outfit with a samurai sword? And then we can have a conversation about it.
Oh,
that was the idea. So we just wanted it a bit more accessible. So again, like I said before, like you didn't have to be like super into manga to appreciate the stories that we were making.
All right, but I love the layout though. Again, as long as it's front to back instead of back to front.
Yeah.
But yeah, it really makes for you know, it's like a comic book, but not quite a comic book. And it's got a lot of borrows a lot from comic books, but it's got other issues aspect to it as well. Anyway, well, let's talk about this. You got this latest project that you got on Kickstarter right now. It's called Sirius Through the Fog. Now, I take it, is Sirius one of the characters?
Yes, so okay. Sirius is one of the, I think it's the second graphic novel that we came out with. And it's a story about this young rabbit called Blake, who's from this small neighborhood, but he has these big kind of like goals and dreams of becoming like a, you know, big entrepreneur. Mm-hmm. And he's kind of looking over at the big city, which we've called the jungle. So the story is about him sort of overcoming. It's like an underdog story or under rabbit, which I think is about. So he's going to different neighborhoods, picking up different members of his team. Everyone's like adding something. They have to overcome challenges to get to the goal. And then when they get there, they kind of see like what they're up against. Mm. And then the new one, Kickstarter, sort of continues from that story.
Now this one, I love the aspect. It's a pandemic, and hey, we're going through that right now. So
big coincidence.
Yeah. So, and this is basically how he struggles through it and how he gets back to what, a sense of normalcy or something like that, I take it.
Yeah, but like dealing with it, essentially. Yeah.
Okay.
It was, like you say, it's timely. It's definitely, like I keep saying inspired. I think on the Kickstarter page it says inspired, but that's just the word. It feels like it's not the right word, inspired by a pandemic, but that's kind of where it's come from.
Maybe maybe demanded by a pandemic.
Maybe a result of.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, Well,
I spent a little while looking up like synonyms, and that was just the best one I could find.
We'll go with that then. All right. So now, now, why did you sit down and want to do something like this? I mean, I understand we're going through a pandemic. There's something going on. Why did you want to get that message out?
So a couple of reasons. And the story itself, like I say, is about this sort of young character who's has this entrepreneurial dream. And that was one of the stories that was written by my co-founder, who's no longer in the brand, but he created that set of characters, and then I wrote and created the others. And I'm continuing this one. But when he created it, the idea, he basically took from our experiences that we were seeing about our sort of journey, mm-hmm. from where we came from, wanting to make something. And he sort of took inspiration from that to create this character. So as we were going through like the depths of the early stages of the pandemic, and like for me personally, sort of our business essentially just everything like shut down, mm-hmm. Sort of around March, and you know, because yeah, we do a lot of things that require us to be in the same place with you know, a certain number of people, right. So that all shut down, so it's quite a hard thing to deal with, like where to go from there, mm-hmm. And I also, alongside like sort of creating the manga, we work with young people like in London, and through like workshops. So we have these creative comic story workshops where we help young people sort of develop their creative imaginations and transferable skills as well. So they're making their own characters and stories, and I'm helping them with that. Mm-hmm. So as I was sort of going through this, I felt that what would happen if we have this story about these characters who have this business? What would happen if they had to deal with a pandemic? And then how can I use that to create a story for everyone, but yeah, young readers in particular, because that's a lot of our audience, mm-hmm. to help them focus on sort of positive outcomes and lessons, even in a time like this, or even like because of a time like this, really. So it's part like me wanting to process my own thoughts, but then also create something that fits within our world, but also like helps other people maybe think about sort of ways they can adapt, because that's really what stories are about.
Right. And I like the idea that it's like, hey, you know, you can do this. You can, no matter what the situation, here, we'll prove it. And that's what I liked about the storyline of this one. When I got contacted, I started looking up your information. I'm like, ooh, this is intriguing. Now, you're doing a Kickstarter for this. You did Kickstarter for previous issues as well, right?
Yes, we have a bit of a track record with Kickstarter. It is a mixed one, but it has enabled us to get a couple of our volumes done. So we started way back. Kickstarter, once upon a time, was available in the US, but not the UK.
Oh, okay.
So when we were first coming up with these ideas, we had, I should also sort of give context and say, despite everything you've seen on a website, I actually have an engineering background, and we both had, me and my friend had an engineering background. Oh. So we had no background or experience in what we're actually doing now.
Oh, wow.
I say that because that will then make sense. What I'm about to say next is, having never done a comic before, we had this idea. We were going to do like four different stories with four different artists and launch that on Kickstarter with no track record. and we wanted like $10,000 for it, and we're going to use like, I had a friend in the US, we're going to use like his account. Don't even know if I should be admitting that, but that was our thing.
That's in the past.
So we launched this campaign, and it got to 4K, which, if you know Kickstarter, it's all or nothing. So either you hit your goal or you get nothing.
Yep.
We got nothing, and we kind of took a step back and then focused on one story, which is a sensible thing to do, and then launched another campaign on Indiegogo. We did that through the UK, and that got made. Okay. So then that was kind of our start. We learned that from that initial lesson, got Samurai Chef made, came back to Kickstarter for the full Samurai Chef, and then recently did one for our latest manga, Hot Lunch, through Kickstarter as well.
Okay. Now you got this one rolling in, and you even got kind of nice accolades from Kickstarter themselves. It's like what was it? The personal favorite or something like that?
Oh, yeah, because so Kickstarter has this Projects We Love, which is their team kind of, I think it's like a manual process. They'll go through and they'll highlight like projects they particularly find like interesting, captivating, or whatever it might be. And yeah, I got like, I think I came back on like the first day and got an email saying, yeah, you've been selected for a project we love, which is great.
Ah, nice, nice. Did they give you any kind of reason why, or just because they do?
Yeah, I think it really is. They don't necessarily explain. I remember hearing some of their guidelines and stuff, but in the email, it's just like, yep, you've been selected. Well done.
Nice, nice. Well, I could tell you probably get some good reasons is, what the subject matter, your target audience. And I think with all that, yeah, it's definitely something needed right now. And they recognize that as well. So, I mean, I would have done that as well. But that's kind of a nice award, if you will. And nice to enjoy. But now, how's the Kickstarter going so far? I see you got like about 20 days to go.
Yeah, we got some time left where I think the last time I checked it, like just short of 80%
nice.
Towards the goal. So yeah, those numbers look good. I think for me, it's what I've realized from that initial time we did a Kickstarter is more than just the money. I mean, obviously we need the money, otherwise we can't make it. But it's about building like that community. And I think that's something I didn't do so well following our first successful campaign that I'm trying to kind of get back to and focus on now. So it's good that we are sort of making a way to the goal, but it's also nice to see, like, I've recognized some names from people who backed the last campaign. So I think that's good. So if we can sort of get obviously new people, because we want to sort of build and grow, but also like keep people that are interested in our work from one campaign to the next. So kind of looking at it from both of those angles. So like hopefully we hit our goal sooner rather than later, and then building that to get more people that can follow on sort of the journey from this story to the next one.
Right. Right. And I know I got a couple of friends that have, they do regular Kickstarters. One of them's a comic book creator. And once he got the first one out of the way, he didn't know what to do. And so, and I said, well, are you going to do another issue? And he goes, yeah. And I said, well, start it on Kickstarter and let the people know that got to, you know, that started that one, and let them know you're doing that. And you got, and it is now every time he's got a built in audience. And I think that's the best way to approach a Kickstarter, especially, but it's always, it's always good to have an audience. I mean, I work in radio and, you know, I could go on the air and talk, but unless I've got somebody listening, it's no big deal. So I get the regular people trying to call in, you know, listen in. And, you know, I can build that audience. And I think that's about the same with any kind of entertainment media, including, and especially, I think, books, comic books, manga, or anything else. So yeah, you'll have a following.
Exactly. I think that's important, because I was having a chat, just this week about someone who's working on making a comic, and, just that feeling like when you're making a comic, it's kind of solitary at times, and you make any story and you wonder like, wait, is this just for me? Does anyone enjoy this? So it is nice to see like people come back or like I mentioned, when we're at conventions, people say, oh, I got this and now I'm back. You've got something new.
Yeah.
That's cool. Let me pick that up. So it's like kind of like validation in a sense.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And that's always a good thing to have, especially when you're creating something and you know, you've done the work, you're putting it out there. It's like, okay, hopefully somebody likes it. And when they come back for more, then you know they liked it. So,
yeah.
All right. Well, let's see here. Now, I see on the Kickstarter, you got, of course, different award levels. And one of them is, I have to look at it again. But you had something about buy it for youth or something like this, where you can get several copies.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, can you explain that one?
So it's essentially a campaign reward where we'll send you 6 copies of both Sirius Volume 1 and the new Through the Fog, because that continues on from Volume 1 in a bunch. So sort of one pair of copies for you and then 5 to donate to young people. And I did this on the last one because, again, like I said, I sort of work with youth organizations, and I come across people who, like, it's funny, like they themselves aren't necessarily into manga or care about manga or comics or whatever, but they work with or are in contact with young people who do. So it's kind of for people like that, who they may know some young people who are interested And because our brand and our stories are sort of all ages, they know it's something that's safe for them that they can sort of give. So I think we had someone sort of pick up a bunch from the last campaign, so I thought I'd include it again in this one.
I think it's kind of a neat idea, especially again with the subject matter you're approaching on this one, and the fact that it's easily absorbed material. And I think getting it out there, I mean, the idea of someone else saying, hey, I read this, you need to read it, and instead of giving up their own copy, you know, because that's one thing. Yeah, I'm like, exactly. Oh, I read this. This is awesome, but I don't want to give it away. So, yeah. But yeah.
You should read it too, but not mine.
Right. Yeah. Good idea. Good idea. So, all right. Now, the Kickstarter, again, at the time of recording of this podcast, you got about, I think it's, 22 days is what it says right now. So, we'll say about 20 days. So, people need to get on there, Kickstarter.com. What's the best way to search for this on Kickstarter? My Amada, your company, or through the name, or how's that?
Yeah, I think the name of the project works best. Okay. I'm trying to think how like Kickstarter search. I think the name of the project. So if you type like Sirius Through the Fog, that should pop that up.
Okay. All right. Sirius Through the Fog. And again, it looks like a really fun manga. I love going back and forth. And I think it irritates my son. Because he's one of those perfectionists. And he's kind of looking at me funny, saying manga.
So, does he say manga?
Yeah.
So, okay. Yeah. I feel like that, thinking that people who are sort of more well versed than like even I am, because I still consider myself new, they say manga and I say manga. So maybe like one day I will have read enough and I'll just like switch.
There
and
you
I
go.
Won't even know. I think that's what it is.
Well, I think for me, it's just a matter of I like to irritate him, and so I say it wrong on purpose, and it's become a habit. So,
yeah.
All right. So now let me ask you a couple of other questions about your project. Now, how much do you, after this project or after this Kickstarter is funded and everything goes on, do you have any plans in right now for some future ones? I mean, I know as a company you're going to, but do you have something in mind right now for future publications?
Yeah, it's funny because this, as with much of what's happening this year, was not planned.
Right.
So this has kind of come up because of the situation we're in. I was actually working on our next full volume, which is called 11th Hour. And that one's quite an interesting one for me because I mentioned my friend who I co-founded this with, who's no longer involved. He started the idea for this new story, which I'm sort of continuing. So it's been a weird experience. I've had to take someone else's idea, sort of adapt it for my own kind of sort of writing style and ideas and put those into it to make the new story.
Right.
So that's what I was working on. I had intended to sort of bring that out and launch a Kickstarter at some point this year. That will now obviously be next year.
Right.
But yeah, so... And it's also the last of the original stories we had way back in the beginning. So it's quite a special one. So yeah, we're looking forward to that. And it's about, like I said, all our stories have sort of, you know, different shows, so different storylines.
Right.
And this one is, it will be about four strangers that are brought together by a plot, in place by the ruler of this land called Tempora. So there's this timepiece, all these timepieces and a mystery around it. So this ruler's trying to take power, and these four just like ordinary people have to like deal with this situation they've been thrust in. So and it focuses around one particular character called Norio, who is this just unassuming kid basically. He's a tanuki or a raccoon dog.
Okay. Oh wow.
And he's just a normal kid, but he has to sort of live up to his potential. And that's the idea of this story, is about, you know, what happens when you're put in a situation where you have to, you know, fulfill your potential and all the fears and stuff and challenges that come with that. So yeah, that's the idea for that story.
Nice. That's all right. So looking forward to it. So anybody going on to this Kickstarter, you're going to be letting them know when the next one comes. And so if you want to find out about the future one, anybody listening out there, you want to make sure you get on this Kickstarter and get, you got 20 days left and well, you're at 80%. So I'm saying, yeah, you'll get funded. And so there's
the maths look good.
Yeah. And that's always good. But yeah, the aspect of, someone, you know, jumping in on this now, you also have, I mean, yeah, you have this volume, but you also have digital volumes and actually printed of some of your earlier works included as some of the reward levels. So they can jump in and say, okay, let's see what these guys are doing here. And then, okay, I like it. Well, then you can be notified for future stuff. So again, I'm looking forward to any and all for future stuff. I have yet to pull the trigger on this because I can't figure out which reward level I want. Now, you are going to be delivering around the world, right?
Decision paralysis.
Yeah, exactly.
Sorry, say that again.
You are going to be, these can be delivered around the world, right?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, we'll ship them about.
Okay. That's the one thing I always, you know, worried about is like, okay, so will they send it to me in the States or what, you know, whatever the case is. So, all right. Well, that might help a little bit. No, it doesn't. I still don't know which level.
You don't know.
It's going to be a printed copy level, whichever one I go with. So, because I've always loved.
Yeah, I do. I'm a fan of like printed.
Yeah.
I was considering like a digital only, but I just personally, I like printed books.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, the bonus is you'll still get the digital, but again, I have to have that one in my hand type thing. I guess I'm old.
Yeah. But no, me too. I totally get that.
Okay. Well, we're talking to Nigel Tomasi with Mayamata. Boy, there's a lot of things that just really don't go over my tongue very well.
Yeah, we do challenge
people. And anyway, he's yeah, I can see that. He's got this great Kickstarter going on right now, and you might want to check this out. You got it. I mean, it's a manga, but it's like he said earlier, it's left to right. So, you know, for me, I get confused. But so you'll be able to enjoy it either way. But it's Sirius Through the Fog is the name of it. And it's very interesting about a pandemic that hits in the world of this manga that he's created. And very interesting looking subject matter and very interesting. Now, what age range are you actually focusing on whenever you write these?
Yeah, it kind of it varies like ever so slightly from story to story. Like I said, our sort of books and the whole brand is an all ages brand. So
right.
I know like children as young as six. I know I had one parent inquire about a 6 year old. Mm. And we've had like, you know, young kids, 7, 8 year old, reading our books. I think the subject matter will kind of appeal to different ages. So for example, our first story, Samurai Chef, which is a cooking show about a chef who judges food by attacking it with a samurai sword. And then the food is turned into monsters and starts fighting back.
Okay.
So yeah, it's a bit, it's like an action comedy, but it's a simple concept. So that one probably skews the youngest because it's just the easiest to get.
Okay.
And then something like Sirius, which like I mentioned about this sort of young rabbit and his entrepreneurial dreams. Although it can be read by all ages, but I feel the subject matter might be pushing more towards like teens or maybe like preteens.
Yeah.
And then with 11th Hour, the way I'm writing it, I'm hoping it will appeal to an older audience while still maintaining sort of the appeal to younger audience. Like I really like Pixar, some of my favorite storytellers.
Right.
And I like how they're able to take, at times sort of, you know, sort of real concepts, like with say like The Incredibles and the latest one, which you've got, you know, the story about, you know, what happens when the wife is the primary breadwinner and how does the father
right.
deal with that, you know, but then it's packaged in this way that kids can enjoy, but then adults can as well. And like Inside Out is one of my favorites where you've got this, you know, it's a really complex topic of emotions and how to deal with them, but it's, you know, packaged in this way. So
yeah,
that's what I'm going for. Like, as I get better as a storyteller, just wanting to make stories that your sort of adults can understand and get that, those themes from the book.
Right.
But then kids can read it, enjoy the characters and the story that they can understand.
Yeah. Okay. That's nice. I never thought of it that way, but I was looking at, I'm like, looks like from some of the drawings. Okay. Maybe younger, but then I was reading some of the, conversation. You got a few pages listed on the Kickstarter, and you also have someone wants to go to the Kickstarter, they can preview the first.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Because I saw that you can download a PDF of a preview of the first issue and the first Sirius book, I guess. They're all Sirius, but anyway.
No. Yeah, they are.
But anyway, you can preview that if you want to get it. Catch a feel for what they're writing style is and what their what they're coming across with. And I did, and it looked pretty interesting. And like I said, the animation part of it, if you will, the manga part, it's like, okay, I can see kids of all ages enjoying this. But then you get to the subject matter, like you just said, wait a minute. I bet an older kid would get this more, but the younger kid still would love it. So yeah, exactly. That's great. That's a great approach. Pixar approach to writing. I like that. So
yeah. No, it's a challenge. But yeah, I like that sort of appeal. And even with the latest one I mentioned, 11th Hour, it's you know, these people come from like different areas of life, and they're bringing that into the situation. So they're all sort of bringing something baggage, if you will, that they've got to work through. So it's like looking at that side of things as well.
All right. Well, again, we're talking to Nigel Tomasi with Mayamata. They do manga, and they're on right now Kickstarter with Sirius Through the Fog. You might want to check this out. I mean, if you are into manga, if you're into storytelling, if you're into, comic books, anything. I mean, this is something you might want to at least check out.
Animals.
And animals, yeah. And it's at least find out that if you're interested or not. But I know I was. Again, got approached, and I'm like, all right, let's find out what this is about. And like, hey, that's kind of cool. So, great idea. So, again, Nigel, thanks for joining us today on the podcast. I'm going to get people interested, and I'm going to also put a link to your Kickstarter on there. So anybody listening on the Nerd Up podcast page, just below the summary of this podcast, you'll see a link to his Kickstarter. I'll do the video link is what I'll do. I always like to do those. But that way it'll send you over there. You can click right on it, so you don't have to worry about having to search for it. But go up to nerdoppodcast.com, and I'll get you a link over to the site. So Nigel, thanks for joining us. I wish you all the best, and I think you're going to get this one. Well, I know you're going to get this one going, and then I'm ready for the next one. So if I can just figure out which level I want, you'll get my support as well.
Yeah, take some time. Then, not too much time. But right. Some
time. Well, I'll wait till the 11th hour. Huh? So, all right. Again, thank you very much for joining me on the Nerd Up podcast. And I'm Gil T. Wilson. Thanks for joining us today. And maybe I'll get the gang back together eventually. Again, schedules, you know, things like that. So, all right. Then, as we say every episode, stay nerdy. Yeah.